Father, we thank you that your word is alive and powerful, God. This morning that we can come with an expectation, Lord, to hear from you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that as we come, that we can bring our worship to you together this morning, that we can enjoy the fellowship, and that we can bring praise to your name because you are worthy. Lord and Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place this morning as the teacher, the one who leads us into all truth, God. And we yield our hearts and minds to you, God. And we ask that you would shape us and mold us and make us then we more like Jesus Christ, God. It's our desire, Lord, to be, as your word says, conformed to the image of your Son. And this morning, Lord, we want to know you more. We want to be changed. And we thank you that it's in your presence that we are changed, God. And we commit this time to you and to your glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Read with me from John chapter 7, from verse 37. Sorry, 37. On the last day and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, this is quite exciting. Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit and prophesying, in fact, of what is going to happen. I'm just going to read that again. He says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And then he explains that he speaks about the Spirit that was yet to come. And this is such a great promise. If you think about it, he says he will speak of the Spirit who is God, who will be poured out on the earth, and who believers, anyone who believes in Jesus will have access to and who will be able to receive. And then he says streams of living water will flow from within our innermost being. Streams of living water, speaking of the gift of the Spirit, the life and abundance for which Jesus came. And, Jesus says in John 10, verse 10, he says, "The thief has not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy," speaking about the devil, the enemy, "but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." And he's speaking the whole time of this abundance of life and this incredible promise of living waters and abundance of life and more than abundance. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we look around us and we think, yeah, but where is this abundance? Where is this, this streams of living water? The amazing things we read in the Bible, we're going to get to some of them just now. But there's this great promise that Jesus makes. He says, anyone who believes in him has access and has the promise of the Spirit to come. And now, obviously, we know it. At Pentecost, that happened. The disciples were waiting in the upper room. It must have gotten quite packed. It must have been packed. There were about 120, or it must have been a big upper room. I don't know. Probably not an English or British-sized room or London-sized room, but we just find a nice flat which has a decent living room in any case. So they were all packed into this upper room, and they were waiting on the Spirit, and the Spirit came, was poured out in tongues of fire, and each of them received the Holy Spirit, and they prophesied, and they spoke in different tongues, and the gifts of the Spirit manifested. We're going to look at that in a moment. But we see the power of God at work in and through those lives of those disciples right from that moment on, in a measure that they haven't seen before. I mean, for instance, Peter, I like Peter, you must have noticed, but Peter now, just before Jesus was crucified, Peter falls completely, and he was always the bold one, always saying, "Yes, Jesus, if it's you, let me step out of the water onto the water." And then Jesus calls him, and in the garden, he's the one that whips out his sword when the guys come to take Jesus, and he chops off the one guy's ear. And Jesus, "No, Peter, chill, dude. This we know about. This is gonna happen." And he picks up the ear again, he puts it back, and Peter's like, "Okay, But just after that, we see when the pressure's really on, we see Peter denies Jesus three times, even to a little servant girl, and he says, "No, I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about." When somebody asks him, "Weren't you with that Jesus guy?" And he says, no. And we see there, even the bold Peter, the church history says he's quite a big guy. you know, he kind of folds and he's the pressure's too much and he can't take it. And it's incredible how later Jesus restores him. And he says, listen, do you love me? And he restores Peter to a place of confidence and boldness. And now we see that same Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gets up and he preaches. And it's the first sermon of the church in the New Testament. And 3,000 people come to Christ right there. And they baptize them. And they say 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. And you see that somewhere between this little servant girl where Peter didn't have the boldness to say, yes, I know Jesus, between him standing up and preaching the word and 3,000 coming to salvation, do you see that there's something serious has happened in between there? Okay? And that is what happened, is the power of the Holy Spirit came upon that man. And anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But there's this incredible promise of the Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit for every one of us, every believer. And the incredible thing we see in Scripture is that Jesus himself was also anointed by the Spirit. Sometimes we think of the miracles he did and we think of incredible things. And we think, but Jesus, you know, I mean, it's not fair. He was God, you know. So surely you were able to do that stuff. But even Jesus was fully man and he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10:38, we see Luke writing says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So even Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good, and it says healing all. Now, if you look at the rest of Luke's writings in Luke and in Acts, Luke was also a medical doctor, apparently, and he was very meticulous, and he wasn't just kind of exaggerate. And here he says he healed all. And many, often in the Acts and in the New Testament, we see Jesus healed all, and in the Gospels, we see all who were there were healed. Everybody that was sick was healed. Everybody that was demon oppressed was delivered. And we see this incredible power in which Jesus moved. And we look at those 3 years, you know, that of his ministry. He moved with the gifts of the Spirit. And again, Jesus was fully man, but he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. So he was also operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The same gifts, the same anointing that's promised to us. And we see when he meets Zacchaeus, remember the guy, that little guy that sat in the tree, and Jesus came past, and Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, come down. How did he know his name? I believe that was a word of knowledge, you know. And later on with the woman at the well, or the Samaritan woman sitting at the well, Jesus said to her, listen, yeah, and the, you know, he gets a word of knowledge about the husband she's had, and the one she's with now is not her husband. And she kind of, oh dear, this guy knows everything about me. How is this possible? And again, Jesus is flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's anointed with the same Spirit. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is available to us. And God calls us to partnership with that Spirit, to walk in partnership with him as the Holy Spirit on the earth. And, you know, we've been talking about discipleship. We've been talking about investing our lives into other people's lives, investing into people's lives, you know, pouring ourselves into other people. And last week, Brian mentioned being true older brothers, going out there and, you know, even though it costs us, going out and looking for the lost sons and the lost brothers. And this morning, I really have in my heart that God says that he wants to partner with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I look sometimes at the task that is ahead, I don't know how it's possible. I don't know how we're going to do it. And remember, I preached about how, you know, in God, everything is possible. But that all kind of feels up there and far away until we come into real partnership with the Holy Spirit, until we learn to partner with the Holy Spirit as the one that God has sent to help us. Let's read from, sorry, before I'm getting ahead of myself again. Even in the life of Jesus, I said, even Nicodemus, and we read in John 3:3, who came to Jesus, a ruler of the Jews, he said, Jesus, you know, we can see that you are from God, because no one can do all these things that you're doing unless they are from God. So even the ruler of the Jews, even the, everybody could see, listen, the something is up. Jesus is seriously anointed with power. The stuff that he's doing is not normal stuff. Everybody could see there's something different, okay? And so it's all over the life of Jesus, and he has promised that that is also for us. That has been destined for us as well. And in John 14, verse 12 to 17, if you want to read with me, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Again, Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit. And now I reckon him speaking to the disciples here must have bowled them a little bit with this bit, this little speech. Because if you look at this, now disciples spent roughly three years with Jesus in his ministry, and him walking with them and, you know, coaching them and challenging them. And through these 3 years, we see the most incredible things, like we've just saw, you know, Jesus healing people, raising guys from the dead, casting out demons, walking on water, commanding the storms. I mean, these guys have seen everything that you can imagine, and they kind of just, I believe, were just in awe and kind of came to that realization, like Peter did. He says, "Lord, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is, we've noticed this. We can't deny this. We've seen the power of God at work. We've seen it in so many different, you know, situations. They've seen all these things." And now Jesus says, whoever believes in him will do the same. And then he goes a step further. He says, we'll do greater things. Now, I can just imagine the guy sitting there said, how is this possible? What is he talking about? And then he says another puzzling thing. He says, I'm going to the Father. And then he says, in a different gospel, he says, it's better for you that I go to my Father. It's better for you. Now, this must have bowled him again. Can it be better? We've had this amazing 3 years. God, Jesus has done all these amazing things. The Father has kind of turned the whole known world at that stage upside down through Jesus. And now he says, it will be better for you if I go to my Father. But then he says, because I will send you another helper. And that, again, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And he says, it's better for you. I'm going to go. It's better for you. I'm sending you a helper. And with that, he says, greater things than these will you do. Or everyone who believes in me. Now this is, again, it's hugely challenging, and it's kind of awe inspiring and a little bit intimidating, because now we think, okay, now I believe in Jesus, but now I haven't raised anybody from the dead lately. I try and avoid morgues. I don't know about you. But still, he says, this is the promise. Greater things than these. Greater things than what you've seen, those who believe in me will do. And it's better. It's better that I go. Partly, the reason why I said that is, and why I had to go, is that Jesus was fully man. He was limited to one place at one time. But when he went and ascended into heaven, he poured out his Spirit at Pentecost, and now the power of God in form of the Holy Spirit was available to every believer all over the earth at the same time. So not anymore limited to one place and one person, one body, but available and manifest all over the earth, and the power and the manifest presence of God through his Holy Spirit. So that's exciting, isn't it? Are you guys with me still? I'm kind of moving here this morning. Now this is a challenge to me as well, okay? We see Jesus saying greater things will be done, the same things and greater things, and we see him saying it's better for you because I'm sending you this helper. And this, when I was preparing, it reminded me of this story that I heard of this guy who grew up in a very non-Christian environment, didn't have any access to the gospel or to the Bible, anything like that, and didn't know about Jesus or anything like that. And then somebody gave him a Bible, and he got a hold of something, and then he read the Bible, and he got so excited, and he actually came to believe in God, and he got born again by just reading the scripture. And he was just so inspired and overwhelmed and encouraged, and then he basically, I can't remember the detail, but he actually came to a place where he could go to church. So he went to the nearest church that he could find, and he was so excited, and he ran in there, and he was a bit confused with everything that was happening in the church, but he was excited, you know, and he was going for it and did everything that he had to do and stand and sit and do all the stuff. And then at the end, the minister was standing at the door and greeting everybody as they were going out. Maybe before they went out, he kind of put up his hand and said, "But when are we going to do the stuff?" And the minister was kind of confused, you know. And they said, "What are you talking about?" "No, but when are we getting to the stuff?" And the guy said, "No, what are you talking about? When are we going to do the stuff in the Bible?" Because, you know, he's been reading of people getting healed and delivered, and, you know, miracles happening and the power of the Holy Spirit when believers come together. And now he's sitting here and he says, "But when are we getting to the good stuff, you know, the real stuff?" And sometimes I feel like that, you know. I'm saying, "Lord, when are we going to do the stuff?" You know, and that's what I want to challenge us with this morning, is that I believe that there's a place where each one of us can walk in a partnership with the Holy Spirit, where we're going to see the stuff. We're going to see the stuff where it's going to be part of our daily life. We're going to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in a way that we haven't experienced before. Not only at church, not only when we meet together, but on the bus and at your workplace, in very much a part of our lives. And I believe God wants to invite us. He's inviting us to that partnership. And we choose how much of that we want to take for ourselves, how far we want to go down the road, how close we want to move to the Holy Spirit. It's a choice that we make. So let's get around to the stuff. Let's look at the word, the Holy Spirit. The word that they use there, some translations call it, say, helper, some say comforter. The Greek word there is parakletos, and means the intercessor, and intercessor, consoler, advocate, or comforter. And it means the one who comes alongside to help. How powerful is that? I don't know about you. If I can choose a helper for, you know, daily life or job or work or any difficulties, this seems like a good option. You know, sometimes when you're faced with a difficult situation, you want certain people around you. I don't know about you. When I have car difficulties, I've noticed that I want Gibby to be around. Gibby, who led worship this morning, he's just anointed in that way. He knows about cars. I didn't know that of him before. But so whenever I get a car and I have car trouble, I'll call Gibby. Okay. In the same way, if you know, if you're in difficulty with maybe a big person that is upset with you and wants to slap you, then maybe I want to have Alan close by, you know, just to intimidate him a bit, you know. But there's certain situations that you need. You're thinking, I need this person right now to be with me. And how much more if we have this incredible invitation saying, I'm sending you a helper, the one who comes alongside you to help you, the one who comforts and consoles, the advocate, the counselor. How great is that invitation to us? Say, Lord, saying, I'm sending you this helper, and he's there with you, and he's in you, and he's alongside you, and it's me, it's the power of God, it's the power of the living God at your disposal, right there with you, in you, rivers of living water flowing out from your innermost being. I say, grab hold of this with both hands. And the incredible thing here is that, you know, this is not just for the spiritual stuff. This is not just for, when I'm when I have to bring a word, or when I'm praying for somebody, that's definitely part of it. I mean, but it's not just that. It's not just for witnessing. It is definitely for witnessing, the power of the Holy Spirit. If you read carefully, Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And then immediately after that, he quotes that. He says, "And you will be my witnesses, and you will go." And he starts with Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. But he says power, and then he speaks about being witnesses right there. Power to be witnesses. So that's okay. That is definitely part of it. We're going to get to that just now. Part of the power to be witnesses. But it's much more than that. It's a partnership in everything that you can imagine. It's a partnership in your workplace. When you're struggling with something, when you're out of your depth, when you've been thrown in the deep end, you don't know what's happening, that the Holy Spirit is right there. And the incredible thing is, I don't know if you've noticed, but if you're an accountant, the Bible is not clear on accounting and when the financial year end of the UK is. I haven't figured it out yet, but it's some orb date in the middle of April somewhere, which doesn't make sense to me. I'm apologize, but the Bible isn't clear on that. Okay, I studied a little bit of aeronautical engineering, and the Bible wasn't clear on that either. But the incredible thing is that the Word says that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. The Bible is all true, but it's not all truth. Do you agree? But the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. In other words, He wants to show you stuff right now, right here, for today, for whatever you're facing. He wants to be your helper. He wants to be your parakletos, the one who comes alongside. And I was working as a bus driver at one stage. Actually, I was actually also managing the little transport company. And one of the trips I did with the sports team, I was in a bit of a jam because the something broke on the bus, the little one specific belt. I'm not going to go into technical details, but it was a serious thing. And I knew I had only a few kilometers to go, then it would be more serious. And I had a bus full of people, and luckily at that stage they were all sleeping. But then I got to a city which I didn't know at all. It was a trip that kind of bit out of the areas that I knew. And I got to the city, and I knew I had to, within a very short time, I had to find a part for this bus because we still had a long way to go to where we wanted to be. And the most amazing thing, I was phoning around, I was phoning everybody. It was very early in the morning, so I couldn't get a hold of anybody. I think it was a Sunday, which is even worse for people in church. You can't get a hold of anybody. And I was phoning, people that know the city, please help me. And I could get a hold of absolutely no one. And I remember as I was approaching, I just started praying. I said, "Lord, you need to help me right here. This is not very spiritual, but I need you to help me right now." I started praying, and I kid you not, the Holy Spirit, turn by turn, directed me. Take this off-ramp, go right, go left, go right, whoa. And then at one stage, I was like, the direction stopped. So I just stopped, and I was looking around. And I could actually phone somebody. I got a hold of somebody, but it turned out that where I was like a block away from a little shop, a little parts shop. It couldn't have been a Sunday because it was open. It must have been a different day. And this was not a standard part, but this shop did that kind of work. Okay, so I could walk there, and I asked them if they had this part. They said, "No, they don't have it. It's not a standard part." So they have to phone around. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is like a third world country. How long is it going to take? And a while ago, I was phoning around. Oh, sorry, I mustn't take too long in the story. While the guy was phoning around, I saw this belt lying in the corner. And I picked it up and said, "What about this one?" Again, I felt the Holy Spirit said, "Let's just take that one." And he said, "Geez, I don't know." And what happened is a previous bus came, and they actually hadn't used that for very long, but they changed the aircon and stuff, so they needed a different one. So they just discarded that one. It was lying in the corner, and it was perfect, exact, right size. any case, the point I'm making is God knew where that one belt was, and it said not a new one, but new enough. It hadn't been used much. The perfect part for, which was not a standard part, for the bus that I was driving and that I needed within a very short period of time. And I tell you, I've experienced things like that where God doesn't, you know, we sometimes think God is very spiritual, but God is interested and wants to be involved in your very nitty-gritty of your everyday life. And I want to challenge us people. Sometimes you're sitting at work and you're at your wit's end, you don't know what to do. Ask. Dare to ask the Holy Spirit. Dare to pray in the Spirit. Dare to say, Lord, what must I do here? How would you tackle this problem? How would you program this thing? How would you talk to this? How would you diagnose this patient? I don't know what you guys do, but in your place of work, in your place where you think you're the expert, I tell you, God knows better than you do. Okay? The disciples saw that. They fished the whole night. They couldn't catch anything. Jesus said, hey, throw it on the other side. And they're thinking, no, man, this is a carpenter. I've done this all my life. I'm a fishing expert. But yet when they're obedient, they catch more fish than they've ever caught in their whole life. There's a place of partnership that God is calling us in the Holy Spirit. Very practical, very real life, very much every day helping us, coming alongside us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, desire spiritual gifts. Desire it. It's something you must desire. You must want it. He's encouraging us. He's saying, listen, this is a good thing. Okay? And that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm saying desire. Desire the Spirit. Desire community and intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Desire the spiritual gifts. And the whole piece where Paul writes about the gifts, and then he writes about the love, and then he writes about the gift. First the gifts, then the body, then the love, and then the gifts again. Go and read through that. He says there that it's for the edification of the body of Christ. It's so that we can build each other up, so we can exhort one another, so we can build, you know, encourage one another. And I want to challenge you to start with that. Start in a small group, in your small group. And this is homework, okay? I don't know, you've probably never got homework at church before. But I want to challenge us this week. When you go to small group, if you're not in a small group yet, we want to really invite you to come and visit one. Pray beforehand and ask the Lord, Lord, I just want to bless somebody today. I just want to bless someone with an encouragement. Just show me something. And like Tosin was saying, then read the word. Obviously, God speaks to through his word often, mostly. Sometimes the Lord will give you a picture. But take whatever you get, whether it be a scripture or a word or just a picture, and take it to that person, and take the boldness. Start in a small group where it's relatively when you know the people, but take the boldness to bring that word to that person. And I tell you, if you have ever experienced that blessing of somebody bringing you a word of encouragement or a word of knowledge or just a word of comfort, how powerful is that? You know, I've been in the deepest pit that you can imagine in terms of difficult things I was going through, and then I would get this SMS from somebody with a scripture that's so on the dot speaks into my situation. You think, Lord, you know, how can I live without this? How can I live with your input without your input in my life in this very real, practical way? And if you've ever been on the receiving end of that, you know God wants to speak. You know how desperately he wants to speak to us. How desperately he wants to speak to those out there. Those that don't know him. If that was maybe your doubt, you're thinking, but does the Lord really want to speak through me? I tell you, God wants to speak. He wants to speak to those around you. He wants to speak to those in your small group. He wants to speak so badly. And he's chosen to speak through us. The one time we were on an outreach praying before going into a big shopping mall where we're going to do 2x2 evangelism. Praying for the harvest, you know, praying words of wisdom, what the call, you know, just praying for the Holy Spirit to be with us. Very spiritual, you know, and these two guys come walk up to us, and we kind of huddled in a circle, and I think, they can kind of standing there, you know, and I'm immediately irritated. What can't they see? Like, we're busy with deep stuff here, you know, it's like, this is serious, you know, why can't bother us like this? And like, so I went up to them, and I said, can I help you? You know, that type of thing. And then I said, yes, we want to be born again. So like, what? And it's just, the Lord wanted to tell me, listen, don't pray for the harvest. The harvest is ready. The laborers are the problem. The harvest is ready. People are literally, they came up to us and said, we want to be born again now. Not later, now. Guys, there's people out there, I know that it doesn't seem possible, but there are people out there that are so hungry for the truth. They are so hungry for the love of God. And all we need to do is when we walk in partnership with the Holy Spirit, He will connect us with those people. God wants to speak. He wants to reach. He wants to love people out there. I tell you, I cannot remember one time that I've not got onto a bus or onto an airplane where I've prayed and asked God. And every time I asked, there was somebody next to me with a very specific need of God in their life right then. Not once was there not somebody like that. I want to challenge us people that if we dare to ask, Lord, I want to walk in partnership with you. If we dare to say, Lord, today, I want to be used by you. I tell you, you will not, if you ask that question, and I want to dare you to do that, be ready when God speaks and when He moves. The one time I sat next to a lady flying from Cape Town to Johannesburg, and she had missed her earlier flight, so she wasn't supposed to be on that airplane. Somebody was sitting on my seat, so I said, don't worry, what's your seat? And I sat on their seat. So we were sitting next to each other, not by accident. And she was on her way to her parents in Zimbabwe, and she was on her way to tell them that she's going to marry a Muslim man and that she was going to become a Muslim. And I was just so overwhelmed by the love of God. For that person to send me, to put me right next to her, so that I could chat with her, so that I could pray with her, so that I could say, listen, you got to think about this. Obviously, she'd never had a real relationship with God. She'd grown up in a religious house. But I could chat with her, I could plead with her, I could pray with her. How great is God's desire to talk with people? How great is His desire to minister to those that we meet with every day? How great is His love? And I want to challenge us people, it's our privilege to walk in partnership with God like that. It's our privilege to make ourselves available to Him every day. And it's exciting. It's never a dull moment. Okay, it's always, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do next, but it's exciting. The one time I walk past the shop, the Lord tells me, listen, tell the guy behind the counter I love him. Huge guy, ugly guy, man, scary. I'm thinking, no, Lord, what on earth is this? You know, so, no, just tell him I love him. I'll go in there. And I walk out there and I think, yes, this guy thinks I'm crazy. I'm never going to go back to the shop in my life again. But that guy's life has changed because he's sitting there and he's probably got a need and he's probably in a depression or something. And God speaks into his life. Happened to me a few times at tools. I don't know why. In a shop. So the one time the guy's wrapping our stuff and some kind of gift shop. And I give him a specific word. He didn't say a word, but he looked up at me, and I could see he was shocked. And I can't remember what I said. The Lord just kind of pressed His finger in there and said, I know about you, and I love you. That person's life has changed. They know that there's a God out there that knows about them, that loves them, that cares about them, that is interested in their life. And you and I have the privilege of being partners with God in that. Alrighty. Anyone have a tissue for me? Don't worry, I'll get one now. We have the privilege of becoming channels of grace, channels of love, channels of grace. Thanks. This is childproof, just a moment. That is terrible mic technique. Don't ever do that. Okay. Read with me from Mark 16. Verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world. Now, again, this is, I've mentioned this before, but imagine this is your last few hours on earth. You've got a few hours left. The people that you love are around you. You're going to count your words. You're going to say what's important. You're going to say what's on your heart. You're not going to beat around the bush. You're going to say what needs to be said. Okay? This is Jesus before he's going up to heaven. And he said to them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. I love it. He's not excluding anything. Okay? So don't be confused. The whole creation, everything that moves. Okay? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And he says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink anything, any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. Again, they preached for all of creation. They preached everywhere. While the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. God, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, he's saying, I want to partner with you. I want to walk with you. I want to work with you. When you go out, I will be working with you. When you speak, I will be working with you. When you go out on a limb and you're scared out of your mind and you don't know what's going to happen, I am ready to confirm my word through the accompanying signs. I'm ready. I'm standing ready to bless. I'm standing ready to heal. I'm standing ready to deliver people. I'm standing ready to cover people with the love of God, with my love, with the saving love of Jesus Christ. It's incredible commission that he gives us here. But the powerful thing is, and this is something that we find, you know, sometimes we find guys that they're off to this conference and that meeting and this church, and when they hear there's another guy there that something is happening, miracles are happening, then they run that side, and then there's an open heaven somewhere in America and everybody has to go there. I don't know what that means, open heaven. Maybe it's just not cloudy like this. But anyway, guys, you know, people run after signs. And I want to challenge us, people. Jesus says they will follow. In other words, you're leading. You're moving. We're obeying and we're moving and the signs follow us. Okay, I want to challenge us, people. Don't run after signs. When we move in obedience, you're going to see them. They're going to follow where you go because we're moving in obedience and because God is confirming his word, he's confirming the message. Okay, I've mentioned before that truth supersedes fact, you know. It's not possible to walk on water, but that's what the facts say. But when Jesus says, walk on water, then it's possible, okay? So his truth supersedes fact. If I've got a nice brown jersey on. If Alan would say the jersey is purple, you would think, Alan, the color blind or something, you know, not everything working so well. But if Jesus had to come here this morning and say, listen, the jersey is purple, guess what? It'll turn purple. Because that's the word of God. That's the truth. When he speaks, it's truth. And if it isn't so, it becomes so. That's the power of the word of God. And Jesus says here, these signs will accompany those who believe. He's not speculating, okay? He's not thinking maybe, maybe not. He's saying, this is it. And I want to challenge us people, don't settle for anything less. God, I believe. I want to see this stuff happen in my life. I want to see people's life changed. I want to be a channel of your grace and your love. I want to be a partner with you in the gospel. I will start small. I will start in my small group. or, you know, or pray for my plants, or what the call, you know, I once looked after a place, somebody's plants, and for 3 weeks, and they were 100%, and then the last day, before the people came back that evening, the plants were lying on the floor, and I was like, no way, and I laid hands on them, and I prayed, and they were resurrected, amen. But if you even start with the plants, okay, but God says, this is so, this is the promise. Take him on that promise. Start small. Stretch your faith step by step. Jesus said, these signs will follow. And the powerful thing is, God is alongside. He's so keen. He's so desperate to reach people. You don't have to doubt that he's with you when you go. You know, at one stage, I was being very spiritual. I remember studying for an exam on campus and going on the way to get some notes, and I saw somebody sitting, and I felt the Lord saying, share my love with this guy. And I thought, no, this is a distraction from the devil, because I have to study, you know, I've been procrastinating for so long, and I have to really focus, and I've got only a day or so left, this can't be the Lord. And then I went in, I went to print on the get some notes in a different place on campus, and the guy was sitting there, like on a whole different part of campus. And again, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to that guy. I said, this is not from the Lord. Listen, guys, if I can give you one good piece of advice, if you feel you need to share the love of Christ with somebody, it's not the devil, okay? That's the given, that's a promise. It's God speaking to you, okay? I learned that day. In Malawi, you know, we think maybe these signs of wonders, maybe they're extinct, maybe God changed his mind. I tell you, we were on a mission trip in Malawi once. I wasn't in church very long. I was spirit-filled for a while, but I haven't really experienced the power of God. And Pastor Sias brings a word of knowledge, and he says, listen, everybody that's deaf must come forward. You know, it feels the Lord says everybody is deaf, so nobody comes. So the guys that are deaf in the one ear, they came. Okay, so then he says, everybody, if you know somebody's deaf, bring them forward. So then more people came. But now we have to pray. Now there's people on the team that have been saved 2-3 months. There are people in the team that have been saved many years. Now we have to pray for the deaf. I've never prayed for a deaf person before that. Why do you pray? I mean, where do you start? Firstly, they can't hear you. Okay, the guy I prayed with was deaf in the one ear, so it was fine. But I tell you, every person that was prayed for was healed completely. Everyone that came forward. The one I prayed for, I just prayed in the spirit, and I prayed in English, and I didn't know what to do anymore. I just laid my hands on the guy. And then after a bit, his face just lit up, and he was looked at me, and he kind of spoke in Chicho. I didn't have a clue what he was saying, but he was pointing to his ear, and he was going, you know, and I knew, okay. But every person that responded to the word of God, the word came, bring the deaf, and everyone was healed. Not one was not healed. We have seen so many miracles on that trip. It's mind-boggling. I mean, I once saw a guy, a boy that was born deaf and dumb. This boy was this high. Don't know how old he was. He'd never heard in his life, and he'd never spoken. And they put him on a stage. It was at a meeting, a tent meeting. And the guys in the area liked their sound. So they had these huge speakers. And I had sitting in the third row, so I had stuff in my ears because it was just too much. No, you could feel the vibrations as they were worshipping the Lord, you know. And this boy was standing on stage, kind of not fazed. He was obviously, you know, deadpan face. And then they were praying for him. And suddenly, his face, you could see shock and pain. And he grabbed his ears, like both, like this. And his face was just, what is happening? Because for the first time in his life, he could hear. And it was a bit of a rude awakening with all that sound coming at him. But to see that on his face, you know, this guy is met with the living God. He's not confused about the power of God. He knows. And you might say, maybe it's just in Africa that these things happen. I tell you, people, we used to go to King's Cross Station It's a lovely neighborhood, you know, you meet all kinds of interesting people. Shared the gospel with prostitutes and pimps and all kinds of interesting drug dealers. Some respond more favorably than others. In any case, I remember this one man. He'd come to the station just to have company. His wife had died and his daughter as well, and he was very lonely. So he'd come just to sit and chat to people. So we chatted to him. His foot was in a... He was walking on crutches, and I don't know if it was a bandage or just cast or something, but obviously something seriously wrong. I couldn't really figure out what exactly was wrong, but he couldn't step on it. So I said, listen, can I pray? Because what had happened is before we went out, I found the Lord saying, okay, firstly, I decided now I'm going to stay behind and pray. But we used to do that. Some prayed and some went out. And then I felt, no, I must go out. So I said, all right. And on the way to the station, walking down the road, I felt the Lord saying, tonight, somebody needs to get healed. So I'm saying, Lord, yes. Can't I just pray for someone else to kind of do the praying for healing type of thing? But in fact, the fact is God gave the word. Okay. And as I laid hands on that person, I knew this guy is already healed. Jesus already died. The work is finished. God gave the word. This foot must just now come into order, because God has already spoken the word, and his word is truth. And if the foot is not healed, I mean, the Lord says it's healed, it will become healed. Do you agree with me? And I laid hands on that guy, and I prayed, and we chatted some more, and I said, listen, how's the foot? And again, to see his face when he realized his foot is fine, it's healed. And he said, you do healing. So I explained to him, no, it's nothing to do with me. But I could share the love of God with that person. Because he knew he had an experience with the power of the real living God. And it happened right down the road. Yeah, well, not down the road, but at King's Cross Station. I remember us just speaking with the random people walking past and speaking about the love of God. And there's one guy, I think, probably come from a, I think he came from a Catholic background. And we chatted about a lot of things. And he wanted to argue about evolution and the abortion and stuff. So I said, no, we can do that another day. You know, how's your family? And we spoke about his kids, and so I said, listen, can we pray for you and for your family? So I said, no, you can't pray, yeah? So no, don't worry, I'll pray. He says, no, you pray in church, you know? So I said, no, we can pray, yeah? And then he was very a bit uncomfortable, and I said, listen, I'll pray, and we'll keep our eyes open, don't worry. And to see how, when I prayed for him, how the Holy Spirit touched that man, and his tears were coming out of his eyes, and he said he's never experienced anything like this before. He's never experienced the presence of God. He's never experienced the love of God like that. And it's just because it's just a simple conversation. It's just a little thing. I asked him about his needs. We prayed for him and his children. And that man's life was changed. I tell you, guys, when we dare to ask God, you will not believe the people he sends across your path. When we dare to ask God, Lord, I want to encourage someone. I want to bless someone with the word. You will not believe what God wants to do. You will not believe how ready he is to speak. Read with me from Acts chapter 5. This was just after the man and his wife fell dead before Peter. This is a bit scary. But they lied to the Holy Spirit. But just after that, it says in verse 11, and great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things, which is reasonable. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. Okay, there was a fear of the healthy fear of God. Okay, many signs and wonders were regularly done. It's not it was just happening all the time. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. When the word is preached in power, men and women and multitudes will come to salvation. So that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. People. That's what Jesus said. And greater things. Can you imagine people lining the streets of Tooting, bringing out the sick people, or when you're walking in the hospital, they're bringing out the guys so that you can just kind of walk past them so that they can be healed. This is what God says. And Jesus said, the latter will be greater than the former. There are things that are coming that you and I have not imagined, people. There are things when we choose to partner with the Holy Spirit, when we choose to partner with God and power, God will be glorified like we've never seen before. Okay, I need to close. Let's read from Luke 11:11-13. Jesus saying, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's as simple as that. God says, I'm a father. I love you. I know how to give good gifts. And if you ask me, I will give you my Spirit. I will pour out my Spirit. I will fill you with my Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same power. If you ask him. For those who ask him. Please stand with me this morning. I just want to... There's a few challenges. I know this is a challenging message. There's a few challenges that are going out this morning to myself as well, to me. Firstly, there's a place of consecration that we need to come to. And this is a daily thing. Coming to God, saying, Lord, today I consecrate myself as a vessel of honor. I consecrate myself as my body, my soul, my spirit, all every part of me as slaves to righteousness. Every bit, every part of my life as a slave to righteousness. Lord, I want to be a partner with you. I want to partner with you. Holy Spirit, today, I want to consecrate my every thought, my every breath, my every move to partner with you. And I want to challenge us, guys. We need, that is a good habit to have. That's a good habit to come into. Or daily say, Lord, today. Doesn't matter how, Lord. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know when. I want to be the light and salt in the earth today. I want to be a partner with the Holy Spirit. I want to know that intimacy with you today. I don't expect you to go to the morgue tomorrow. You're welcome to do that. You might be surprised. And pray for dead people. But just start where your faith is at. If you start in your small group or with somebody that you know well, just pray. Ask the Lord. Ask for a word. Ask for encouragement. Ask for a blessing. And don't wait for 5 minutes and then give up, okay? Read the word. Take time with God. And this counts for anything you have questions about. If you wonder about stuff, ask God. I tell you, this is the most liberating thing you can do. If you're confused about something, ask God. If somebody has the answer, he does. Okay. If somebody knows something, God does. We're instant culture. We want to put something in a microwave and 2 minutes later it's hot. God's not like that. He's a relational person. Spend time with him. Hear from him. Hear what's on his heart. Read the word. Fill yourself with the word. Spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And ask what's on your heart. Ask about stuff you don't understand. Ask about things in Scripture that don't make sense. But ask about what's on his heart. Ask God about the people on his heart. And he's going to speak through you. He's going to do stuff through you that will boggle your mind. He wants to partner with each one of us. We've been chatting about discipling and investing, like I said. And I tell you, many times we hear this and we say, Lord, how does that happen? How do I walk a road with someone? How do I invest my life into someone else? Where do I start? Who do I start with? Ask the Holy Spirit. If that's the only thing you do, that's the right place to start. Lord, I never tell him, honestly, Lord, I don't have a clue. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to disciple someone. I'm not a disciple maker. Be honest. But then get into his presence and ask, Lord, where must I start? Who do I start with? And I want to challenge you. Don't just ask and run away. Wait for the answer. Okay? Might take a few days. steps, read the scripture, pray. And Lord's going to speak to you, and you're going to become a partner with the Holy Spirit in a measure that'll boggle our minds. And this is, again, this is not just, it's in every level of your life, every area, every aspect of your life. He's the helper. He's the parakletos. He's the one that comes alongside to help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you came, that you died, Lord, that you paid the ultimate price, that you paid the ultimate price of obedience on the cross, so that every one of us here and everyone out there can have a relationship with the living God, with the living Father, with the living Savior. Lord, we thank you that in your great love, that you poured out your Spirit on the earth, Lord, that you gave of yourself, that you poured out this gift of your power and your presence and your gifts, Lord, in and through us, and you poured it out on the earth, and it's available to us, Lord. God, and this morning we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power at work in and through our lives, God. Lord, we don't take it for granted. We know that it took the death of your Son for you to be able to do this. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you made it possible through Jesus Christ, God. We thank you for that gift. And this morning, God, we come in fear and trembling, Lord, and we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, we make ourselves available to partner with you and with your Spirit, God. Just where you're standing, if you want to just be honestly, just ask. I don't just keep your eyes closed, but just if you want to just raise your hand to God and say, Lord, I want to partner with you, just do that. It's not for me. It's just if you want to just show the Lord. God, and we come to you for you now in the name of Jesus, and we say, Lord, I want to partner with you. I want to know intimacy with your Spirit. I want to walk with the Helper, the Parakletos, in an intimate way. Lord, I want to know what's on your heart, God. Lord, I want to know about the people that are on your heart, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we know it's going to be challenging, Lord, but we ask in Jesus' name. We make ourselves available. We consecrate ourselves, God. And say, Holy Spirit, come, show us. And speak to us. Speak through us. Let us be your hands and feet, Lord. Let us be salt and light, God. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you said that signs and wonders will follow those who believe. And today, God, we stand on your word. And as we move in obedience, God, and as we move in what you tell us to do, I thank you, God, for signs and wonders. I thank you, Lord, for rivers of living water to flow from our innermost being. I thank you, Lord, for rivers of life to flow from our lives into those lives around us, God, in our small group, God, in our community, in our workplace, in our family, Lord, and where we live, God, where we travel, God. Let the living water flow from us, God, to the glory of the Father, to your glory, Lord, for the sake of your name. Let your name be glorified, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in this place, God. I bind every fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I take authority over everything that blinds and everything that keeps us in a place of stagnation. I break that hold in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you right now, God, for a boldness to stand upon your word and a boldness to stand upon your promises in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. I come against the fear of man in this place in the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you, God, that when we walk out of your presence, that we will be filled with your Spirit and with power, Lord, to see your work in and through our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that when we lay hands on the sick, that they will recover. I thank you, Lord, that when we will lay hands and we will cast out demons. I thank you, Lord, that miracles, signs, and wonders will manifest as we walk in partnership with you, God. But, Lord, I pray for the other side. I pray for the still, small voice. Lord, I pray for sensitivity to hear what you say. I pray, Holy Spirit, for sensitivity, God, to every word you breathe. Everything on your heart, every person, every desire on your heart, God. pray for a sensitivity, Lord, even in a still, quiet place, God, that we would hear when you speak. God, I pray for every person here, Lord, even at the workplace, in the relationships, God, that they will call on your name and that they will partner with you, God, in the name of Jesus. More than anything, Lord, our desire is that your name be glorified, that your kingdom come, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we got homework. Let's do the homework first. I want to challenge you this week. Start where your faith is at, but ask the Lord to speak to you about someone so that you can encourage someone. Sometimes the Lord will tell you something, not to run to them and tell them, listen, the Lord told me that you have this weakness and it's a terrible thing. Just that sometimes means you just need to pray for that person, okay? Just pray before you share something. When you share something with someone, just be humble. Tell them, listen, this is what I'm feeling. Maybe God wants to speak to you. Because we all get it wrong sometimes. Okay, just be humble about it. And the Lord is going to speak. But start with little things. Start in your small group. And that's the challenge. Every person here, go out this week and ask God for one thing for one person. Okay, next week, take it a step further. After that, somebody that you don't know. Okay? But don't stagnate people every day. And I tell you, I've not once asked God, and there hasn't been somebody. Not once.